Hello and welcome to Overburden, the podcast for postal workers. I'm Brandy Hughes.
And I'm Kevin Hitchings.
Today we want to talk about the dreaded neighborhood mail.
Everybody's favorite part of the job.
Yeah, I like to bug our letter carrier assistants and ask him how many he's handing out every day. And if he says none, I'm like, good job, keep up the good work.
And then when he has more than one, he just takes a whole bunch of abuse for no reason.
Yeah, but, and then it's more like, sorry, everyone hates you today.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
No. And he's good humored about it, he knows.
He is, yeah. Something to laugh about.
Or they. It's not going to be a whole lot for the inside workers on this, so Group 1 can just listen along and feel our pain if they want, or just skip to the next episode, I don't know.
Well, there is some stuff in the CMS for Group 1 workers, but it's like how when you get the ad mail brought to the plant or to the depot, how you separate it out and how you store it and how you ship it out to the depots, but really that's pretty much all that's in there for them.
Yeah, it says keep it separated by date so you don't get it mixed up and ship it on, essentially, I think is all it says, really.
Yeah, there's like some funny stuff, like if it's short notice to deliver for the delivery window, or if you're already in the delivery window when you get it, then there's all these things you got to do, mostly tell your supervisor and let them figure it out.
Yeah, well, most of what we're going to talk about today is from the CMS, the corporate manual system, which we did an episode on before, which tells you all the procedures and supervisor procedures too for a lot of things.
Yes, which is good because it'll let you know when your supervisor is not really doing their share of the work.
The shocking thing is this tells you how to do everything in the corporation at the low management, of course. And when I tell supervisors in the CMS, the most common response is, what's the CMS? Which is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's big. Like, there's a lot of it there. If you want to read it for yourself, you can find it on Intrapost. If you do a search for corporate manual systems, it will come up. There's tons of different sections. This specifically is 1202.29. A lot of the delivery stuff is also in 12. And I think the safety stuff is all in 16, isn't it?
I'm not sure the numbers, but we'll touch on a few articles, but that's where it's mostly coming from.
Yeah, but like anything that if your management is telling you weird, crazy things that aren't the way you've normally done it, check the CMS. That tells us how it's supposed to happen. That is formed by consultation with the union at a national level. So those are all these things in the CMS are designed to work across the country. Right. And so there's often things that are like, if you have this kind of facility or that kind of facility, so whether you're sequenced mail or not sequenced mail, or what other options would there be? Mobile letter carriers. I like this one in particular because this, I think it's the third page in this section of the CMS, shows me all of the updates over the last 4 years.
Not all of them, and not all the articles have that, but we're not going to go over every detail of neighborhood mail. You guys are all familiar with it.
Yeah.
Just a few things that are a little unusual, or that might be done different in different places.
I like really being able to see when things changed, because things have changed over the years.
One thing to keep in mind, though, if you find something that we talk about in the CMS, that's the official way to do things. If something is different than this, it should have been consulted by and agreed by the local. Mm-hmm. Management can't just change a work process. It's in the collective agreement that work process changes have to be consulted and agreed on. Because the CMS should have been all consulted on at a national level. So local management can't just override what's in here and make up their own procedures like they like to do here sometimes.
Yeah, so if your management is changing things and telling you that it was consulted, the appropriate response is, I'd like to see the minutes from that consultation.
Right.
Because it is management's responsibility to provide those minutes, to take the minutes, and to provide them to the local union.
So one of the big things that we've come across where supervisors have tried here is they will tell you deliver your one-third and only your one-third. That's not necessarily the case. For RSMCs, of course, you're usually almost always delivering all your neighborhood mail in one day, so it doesn't apply there. But letter carriers, usually it's split into 3 days, sometimes four, sometimes more, depending on the size of them.
Yeah, there's also a nine-day split, but yeah, I've never had to use it.
The four-day is really ridiculous because then you're overlapping with other parts of your route. I don't know why they didn't go 3, 6, 9, because then you could just cut one of those threes in half and then thirds, and it'd be a nice, easy split.
Makes sense.
But for some reason, they went four just to totally mess up that rotation.
Apparently, you're more logical than the people who build our roots.
So are most rocks. But anyway, the CMS does allow you to deliver more than one portion in a day if you want to. You have to do full portions. You can't say, I'm going to do, you know, my day one, half of my day two. You can do your day one and all of your day two. And by day one and day two, I mean first day and second day of delivery, not the orange and pink sections of your route or whatever, but the first day of delivery and the second day of delivery. You can do those if you want to, or the second and third, but you can't skip. You can't do one and three. You got to do them in order, and you have to do full portions, and you have to let your supervisor know that you're doing them. It doesn't say anything about your supervisor having an option, just says you have to let them know.
Yeah.
The biggest drawback in that, though, is it says if you do this, you have to let them know, and it will not incur overtime.
Right.
So if you go into overtime, it's going to be hard unless something is very obvious to prove that it was something other than flyers that put you into overtime, because they would have at least contributed. So just be aware that you are giving up overtime if you decide to do more than one portion in a day.
Yeah, I think if you had bills that day and were going to every house otherwise, you could probably argue it, but I don't think they would just agree to pay the overtime. You'd probably have to file a grievance and fight it.
Yeah, and even then, since it's specific in the CMS, it would be tough.
Yeah.
So just be aware. I know a lot of people like to deliver more the day before a long weekend or something, or a day that they know nothing's going to be coming out the next day, because usually the flyers are in the depot the day before, so you know what's coming out, and some people like to deliver them all ahead of time, and then you have a no flyer day.
Yep.
So whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Just that is an option that some places don't allow, and they should, because again, it's in the CMS.
Yeah, I know personally, sometimes I will choose to deliver the next day's flyers just so that I don't have to collate when I get back. Like, even if I know there's a new set for tomorrow, I'm going to take those two sets that are supposed to go tomorrow today, because then I only have one set tomorrow and I don't have to collate at the end of the day, especially if I'm not the one delivering the next day. I hate having to collate for someone else because it feels like you're doing the work and they're getting the pay. But I mean, in theory, it comes back to you when you come back, but it just feels frustrating to spend an extra hour or so at the depot for someone else's benefit.
That's one of the weird things in the collective agreement. It says if you have three or more sets, you may collate. So somebody the day before isn't technically obligated to collate, but it's also the previous day's work. So somebody on a Monday, for example, doesn't have to collate for Tuesday, but somebody who comes in on Tuesday and sees they aren't collated can say, this is not my work, it was yesterday's work. So it's kind of a loophole where we kind of can hose the corporation, because person on Monday can refuse to do it. Person on Tuesday can say, hey, you have to pay me overtime for doing it because the person Monday didn't. Right. And the CA doesn't really allow them to force the person on Monday to do it either.
No, it doesn't.
So this is one of those places where it kind of works in our favor.
And if they were nearing overtime, it actually kind of says that they shouldn't be forced to do it.
Yeah.
So, it is, you're right. It is a loophole and it's dicey, but be nice to your coworkers and collate if you can.
There is a little contradiction in the CMS, though. It says that you collate the day before, but if you're going to run out of time, then you're supposed to tell the supervisor, and they can tell you to either go into overtime or deliver it the next morning, or collate the next morning.
It doesn't really specify that the supervisor gets to decide. It says you discuss it.
You're right. You discuss it with. But if the supervisor tells you to do it the next morning and not take overtime, well, the next morning, that's not that morning's work. So it doesn't say in the CMS that it's not overtime. It just says they can tell you to do it the next day. If you do it the next day, it should still be overtime because it's yesterday's work.
You know, I would be really tempted, because there's a clause in the contract that says that if there's extreme volumes or a reason to, that they could ask you to come in early the next day to prepare all your mail to make bag time. So I would be really tempted in that situation to ask my supervisor, okay, I can't do overtime now. Can I come in half an hour early tomorrow as overtime?
Right.
And if they approve it as overtime, then you're getting that half hour overtime. It's not, if you're done in 8 hours, we won't pay you the overtime.
No. Yeah, which is usually their excuse. If you're done in your 8 hours, but again, like we talked about last week, your 8 hours is only for that defined day's work. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not in that defined days is not regular time. So yeah, they can tell you to do it the next morning instead of staying late, which usually to prevent the supervisor from also putting in overtime, I would guess.
Yeah.
But they should still be paying you overtime for it. And if not, grieve that.
So it used to be that only political mailings during, was it during elections?
It was during any time. It was just a certain number from Parliament.
Oh, right. They had a limit of how many they could do per year or whatever. So those were, like when I started at the post office, those were the only things that got delivered to every point of call, whether the customer said they wanted flyers or not. And then about the middle of 2019, that changed and a whole bunch of different groups could send out ad mail that would go to every point of call, no matter whether they wanted it or not. So it still does include things from your member of parliament, or your provincial chief electoral officer, any municipal notices like garbage pickup schedules or just notifications of what's going on in the community, Elections Canada things, anything from anyone in the House of Commons. But the additions are community newspapers, government agencies at the federal, provincial, territorial, or municipal levels, band councils, municipal election officials. Yeah, so it just, the list got so big that it almost became any community group.
And the reason I wanted to mention that is because we have once or twice in Saskatoon had them come up with 100% coverage mailings that were not on this list. And their excuse was, oh, it was an error and the customer paid for it, so you guys are getting paid for it, so don't worry about it. No. That is not a thing. That would be a change to CMS, a change in work method. There would have to be an MOA for that. That's not a thing. So that should not be allowed. I don't know if they try and get away with that in any small locals or depots, but unless it's on that list. And I'm going to correct myself real quick. I realize I made an error here, and it's just something I've been asked about before. People have seen that members of parliament get, I think it's 3 or 4 free mailings a year. So they ask, why do politicians send out these mailings every week if they only get 3 or 4? And should we only have 100% coverage on 3 or 4? Well, if you look at the CMS, it just says from a member of parliament. The politicians can only send out 3 free mailings, but if their party wants to pay for another 50, it's still from a member of parliament.
Yep.
So that's where it is. And Canada Post still gets paid for those. It's just the government. Canada Post still gets paid for those first 3. It's just the government pays for it rather than the politician's party. But I have heard people talk about refusing because, you know, this is not a parliamentary mailing anymore. It's from the politician. They send it through parliament. It's just paid for by the party. So it still falls under this clause.
I want to bring up that because some of these are political or from special interest groups, you might not personally agree with the content of the flyer. It's not your job to approve or disprove the flyer. It's your job to deliver it. You can voice your complaint to your supervisor. You can take a shop steward with you, but it's still your job to deliver the mail. If you want to phone in sick for those 3 days and not deliver that questionable mailing, that's your call. But don't expect the corporation to not ask you to deliver the mail you've been paid to deliver.
Although there was a mailing probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I don't know how other locals handled it. I really disagree with the way our local handled it. It had some very graphic imagery on it that the corporation approved. And we decided to argue it as a local on the fact that this picture was offensive to a lot of people and we're getting a lot of complaints,
mm-hmm.
Which wasn't an invalid argument. It just wasn't, you know, a technical under the collective agreement or anything else, quote unquote, legal argument, I guess. So the court, we didn't really have a lot of grievance legs to stand on, but we did have letter carriers yelled at. We had threats coming into the office. We had letter carriers screamed at, threatened, people confronting him on the street.
Well, people would come in crying.
Yeah. If something is presenting that level of disruption, that is a health and safety hazard.
Yep.
And we could have and should have, in my opinion, just refused under health and safety under 3313. This is a hazardous piece of material to deliver. Letter carriers are getting verbally assaulted on the street, which mm-hmm. could potentially lead to physical harm or physical altercation. And we should have banned it on a safety issue. So yeah, you can't object things. You can't refuse things just because you object on the content. In theory, I don't know if it's in practice, somebody at the national level with the corporation reviews everything to make sure it meets corporate guidelines. And once that process is done, we don't really have a lot of say we just unfortunately have to deliver it. But keep in mind, health and safety trumps anything.
Yes. That mailing you were giving it as an example, was that the one that came in the envelope? Like that you couldn't view the picture until it was delivered?
I can't remember. We had one that was recalled because it did make it to the depot and didn't meet guidelines. I believe that one was in an envelope and kids were opening it and seeing these very graphic images.
That was the worst part of it, is that we didn't even know when we were delivering it. We didn't realize that it was offensive. And then it was like the next day after the delivery had started that people started getting accosted by customers and complaints. And so we were all kind of, what are you yelling at me for?
Yeah.
You know, and then the customers would show us and we would be equally upset and then go, I'm really sorry, I didn't realize what I was delivering because it's not my job to look at it, right?
But yeah, to me that should have been handled very differently and could have been winnable. Because like, yeah, you can object to anything, but unless it's a legal issue, a CA issue or CMS issue, LCMS issue, something that falls under our rules, it's hard to argue with the grievance system.
Before we get off of the political mailing topic, I just want to mention that some routes have split, what's the word for that?
Constituencies?
Yes, there you go. And so I find that really frustrating when they give me split things and it's like this 30-year route gets this one and this 30-year route gets this one. And you're just like, why are you guys going to make this complicated? But there is a place, and I'll get Kevin to put it in the show notes, where you can look up the district boundaries if you don't have it. Your supervisor should be providing it to you, and it should be on your header board. But if it's not, and you want to check, there's a website here, but I'm not going to read it out. It's too many letters that mean nothing.
Send it to me because I'll forget.
I will.
Usually they're listed by postal code, which is just frustrating because postal codes are not on your header board.
Nope.
So how do you prep ahead of time when you don't know the postal codes?
I guess in theory, if you've been on the route a while, maybe you'll know them by now, but I don't.
Yeah, and depending on how good the road maps are in your depot, I know some of ours used to have it on the header board, but then boundaries changed, and I don't think they ever redid them.
I can tell you the first three letters of all of mine.
Yep.
Because they're all the same. So you probably know that... you get your DCS slips that tell you how many flyers you have, where they go to, what the delivery window is, and they're color-coded to match the last day of delivery. So if the final day is going to be blue day or day three, it'll be on a blue piece of paper. Now, if you're an RSMC, you might not get colored paper because, in theory, you deliver everything day one.
I think colored paper is a Saskatoon thing. I'm not sure.
Oh, no, it says in here that they use colored paper.
Oh, they never used to.
And it says to use... white for RSMCs or for 4 or 9 day splits for letter carriers. But I also want to remember to say that RSMCs do get to take up to 5 days to deliver if the flyer weighs between 500 grams and 2000 grams. So as a demonstration of how big that is, the Canadian Tire one that we just had an MOA for Urban Ops, 65 grams.
Right.
So it has to be many times that big for RSMCs to get that sort of leeway.
500 grams is just under a pound.
I did also see in here in the CMS that they said that if neighborhood mail came into an RSMC location before they departed, they had the option of taking some of it that day or all of it that day or leaving it for the next day.
I think we'll talk about prepping mail for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing there is the neighborhood mail has to be to the route, like to your bunker, to your case, whichever, before the halfway point of your route. A lot of routes are structured to return to the depot for lunch. The mail has to be there.
Yep.
I'm not sure why anymore, because you're supposed to prep at the end of your shift, technically. But it used to be that you prep at your lunch break before you went out in your PM. And I think it's just a legacy thing that's there. Also, just because some people finish earlier than others, and just to ensure that it's there by the time even the earliest person ends their shift.
Yeah.
That might be why. If it's not there by whatever the midpoint is of your day, and some depots have different start times, but in Saskatoon, we just use noon as a hard line across everything. If it's not there by noon, you do not have to deliver it the next day.
I remember they tried to argue that it was 2 at one point, and we lost our minds because we were like, some of us are done and gone by 2.
Yeah. So, so everything just gets bumped back a day. One time they tried to argue that, okay, so you don't have to deliver it on day 1, but on day 2, you have to do day 1 and 2, so it keeps the schedule. No. Everything gets bumped back a day.
Yeah.
They can't just double up.
They cannot compress because they screwed up.
Right.
Do you remember that year they tried to get us to compress the tiny little card on Christmas Eve to one day?
Yeah, that's not
It's
gonna happen.
like, are you crazy?
You know, and they can do local compressions, but they have to pay you compression day, and it has to be consulted and agreed. They can't just decide to compress things. And yeah, there was these super awkward, slippery little flyers, and we thought we had a no flyer Christmas Eve, and they're like, nope, here's a new one that came out, and it's impossible,
And it's 100% coverage.
and it's 100% coverage. It's like, no. And I believe that one wasn't even a political one. I think that was one that was
No.
the one of the ones where they tried to force 100% on something that wasn't 100% and compress it without agreement
Yeah, it was
on
just
Christmas
nuts.
Eve. Yeah.
We all just laughed and we took what we took, but I certainly don't think all of them got delivered.
Everybody did the one third, and there were no consequences because they know they didn't follow the process.
So if you're not sure about what the delivery window is for your ad mail, or you can't find the DCS slip or whatever, and you're trying to look that up, they're supposed to be on that neighborhood mail lookup board. So there should be, like, we use whiteboards in our depot. I don't know what you'll use in yours. Maybe it's a pegboard or whatever, or a
Magnaboard.
whatever. Anyways, every ad mail that comes to your depot should be there. It should have the numbers for the DCS slips on it, and it should tell you what day it finishes. Like, ours is organized into, I think, 5 days. It's one for every day of the week, and then they just put it on whatever day is the last day. And yeah, they use magnet clips to hold them up there for us, but I don't, yours might be different. Another trick to use when you're preparing your neighborhood mail, if you just need to count out so many of them, go use your LCA's scale.
If you
Like,
have one.
if you have one, yeah. So usually how that works is you can put, like, count out 10 and put them on the scale and set that for 10, and then pile them on until you get the number that you want, right? And it just saves you from counting out 217 flyers, right?
So on prep, the CMS used to at one point say you cannot deliver your flyers nested, but it didn't specify how you could prep them. So you could prep them by putting one inside another and then just make sure you dump them out when you put them in the mailbox. Now it specifically says you can't prep them nested, which is annoying. They don't always tell you when things change in the CMS, but it's there. One of the things that they tried to stop, or they one of the things they stopped us from doing in Saskatoon is a lot of people used to put their flyers right into their case the day before. Technically, you still can, but it says you can't put them into your case until the mail's been put into your case. So once the mail is in your case, you can put the flyers in, take the time to do that if you want to. And to do that, there's supposed to be red dots in your case that indicate all the consumer choice, so people that don't want ad mail, so that you can place in your case. And it's the supervisor's job, not yours, to make sure those are up to date and accurate.
Right. So when they hand you that crystal report and tell you to fill it out, that's their job, not yours.
It is.
I also didn't know this, but apparently in apartments it's supposed to be yellow dots instead of red dots on the
Oh,
case. But news to me.
I vaguely recall seeing that now, but I don't know what the difference would be, but
Here's another thing I learned today reading through this was if you're trying to figure out if a point of call is considered a house or an apartment. The criteria is that if there is a common entrance that serves three or more points of call, that is an apartment. Everything else is a house. So if you go through one door to the mailroom or the boxes or whatever, and there's more than three, that's an apartment. Otherwise, it's a house. So a lot of townhouses are considered houses.
yeah. That's for, just to be clear, that's for neighborhood mail. It's a little different when you're doing the route measurement system, but that's another
Okay.
topic.
They're very specific in the CMS that the ownership status doesn't make any difference. So whether it's a rental or an owned condo makes no difference. It's the style of the building, not so much the ownership.
Yeah, so other than not nesting, there's not a lot of rules on how you prep. You can combine them ahead of time and then put them in your case later, but they can't deny you the opportunity to put them in your case. I've seen supervisors try and stop people from doing that, saying it delays your departure time. Too bad. The CMS specifically allows you to do that. If they didn't structure your routes to allow you that time, not your problem.
Right.
Just one of those things. The other thing I wanted to touch on quick is mail rooms. It's another one that's changed a little bit. It used to say that if people are throwing mail back, it's essentially not your problem too much, but you can allow the building superintendent in as long as you're there with him supervised to clean up that mess for you. Now it says the letter carrier supervisor will work with the building superintendent or manager to ensure that it's met. But that's...
Oh, so more supervisor work they've been passing off on us.
But they also split it off to where that's just cleaning the mailroom. Right. They're theoretically supposed to clean the mailroom once a month. And the letter carrier is supposed to be there while they clean it, and it's supposed to not delay you. So the supervisor is supposed to somehow arrange for the person to be there to clean the mailroom while you're delivering, so time it out, and then that person's supposed to be done before you leave. But anyway, that's just more of a... I don't know why it's in...
mailroom.
Yeah, I don't know why it's in the cleaning the mailroom is in with the ad mail CMS. But the next part is a more important thing with the toss back mail. Now it's your job, if you're mobilized and you have a vehicle, to pick up all that ad mail that everyone throws back in the mailroom and take it back to the depot. And if you're a walking route, you're supposed to pick up all that ad mail, put it into a letter carrier route number postal station string envelope, which is
otherwise known as a slough pouch.
A slough pouch. that here we've asked for many times and they refuse to give us. And you're supposed to take that ad mail, stuff it into this bag, and then throw it into the next street letterbox you find. If they refuse to give you that bag like they do here, I would say that ad mail is not your problem. It can stay there. It also says the supervisor is supposed to have a garbage bin in the mailrooms for you for your straps. So you shouldn't have to be carrying those straps around if you're someone who doesn't count out all those tons of ad mail for the apartment.
Aren't you just making a nest out of them in the corner of the mailroom?
You can, but that's the supervisor's responsibility to ensure that you have that so that you're not carrying around all that mess. And then it's the building a superintendent's job or supervisor's job to coordinate with the building superintendent to have that emptied for you. Just so there's a responsibility and sometimes not responsibility for that mess.
I don't think I've ever seen a mailroom that was cleaned on a monthly basis. And I'm going to put this out there. If you're looking for a place to hide a body, mailrooms. No one's finding that for months. As long as your letter carrier doesn't have a good sense of smell. I think it's funny that there's so much in here about what to do with the ad mail after you've prepped it. So it says things like in sequenced depots that it has to be kept in a bunker. It has to be separate from your case. But then it says if there's extremely high volumes, it is permissible to keep it at the case as long as you keep it in a designated bin that the supervisor is aware of on either side of your case on the bottom shelf kind of thing. Now at our depot, this kind of goes back and forth different ways. Sometimes they say it all has to be in the bunker. Then they say, oh, well, if it's collated, then it can be at your case, ready to go for tomorrow. But if it's not collated, it can't. The rule seems to change from day to day in our depot. So maybe your local or your installation has a different procedure. Whatever it might be. This has come up a lot lately in our depot, is the DCS slips, the slips that you scan to say which flyers you're going to deliver. You know, you come in, you go into the neighborhood mail menu in your prep on your PDT. You say, okay, I'm going to scan this one, this one, this one, this one. Yes, I promise to deliver all of the ad mail for today that I've scanned. Now, that's you agreeing. So if you click yes, that's you saying, yes, I will deliver that mail. So if I'm sorting my route and someone else is delivering the ad mail, I'm not scanning that and I'm not saying yes. I will hand the PDT and the slips to the person delivering the mail and say, there you go, you scan that, because I'm not being held legally liable for this ad mail if you're delivering it.
Right.
That's just something I do for myself to keep myself safe. It's up to you. Maybe your best buddy is the one delivering it and you trust them. That's great. It's not that I don't trust the terms who are delivering my route. I just don't want to get in trouble for somebody else's mistake.
So another thing in the CMS, I think they did this to prevent us from using it, is it used to say that if you were out by 10 or more flyers consistently, so if you had an overage or shortage of 10 flyers or more every day, the supervisor had to go out and figure out why. Now it says the supervisor must go out with you. And no carrier wants a supervisor following them around.
Yeah, I read that too. And I thought, so if it's an ongoing issue, my supervisor is going to walk with me until it becomes, gets resolved. Like, no thanks.
Yeah. So
I'll steal ad mail from the guy next door rather than walk with my supervisor.
Yeah. I'm guessing they put that change in there so that people don't do it. What they do now in our depot is they give you a sheet with all the points of call listed, and they want you to go out and, as you deliver, verify which ones have ad mail and which ones don't, so they can update the system, make sure it's right.
They call it the crystal report.
Yeah, that is not your job to do alone. In our local, we agreed in consultation quite a while ago that it's totally up to the letter carrier whether they do that or not. We can choose to, but it constitutes overtime. So whatever time extra it takes them to do that should be paid overtime. And it doesn't say if you go into overtime, so I'm not sure. I was looking at the consultation notes just the other day, so I don't know if you'd negotiate that ahead of time or just guesstimate or how long it took you or what, but you're not required to do that. If you have some local agreement worked out, that is technically the supervisor's job to do with you. And again, a lot of letter carriers will do it here anyway just because they don't want to deal with the supervisor, but you do have the right to refuse that because they can't make you do it alone. So the other argument is that it's your job to update the edit book. It is not your job to edit the route. The edit book is for changes to your route, reviewing the entire route.
So you just make note of changes. This point of call now wants flyers.
Things could have been wrong before you had that route. Things could have happened when you're on vacation and you just didn't notice because you were gone for a whole week, whatever reason, or a whole month, whatever reason, things can get missed. It may not, a good chance it's not your fault that you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your job to edit the entire route to find out where and when some mistake could have happened. It's your job to track changes when you see them, and things do get missed. And if it's off by a bunch, and you know, that is the supervisor's job to help catch up on, not yours. So don't get suckered into doing a bunch of extra work that's not your responsibility.
I know there are a lot of routes out there that have a lot more apartments than mine does or than yours does. And so some of those, it's like a revolving door. Like people move in, people move out. The number of people who do or do not want flyers changes every week.
Almost. It's impossible to track.
Yeah. And I mean, I only have 4 apartment buildings on my route, but there are routes out there that are pretty much all apartments. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know how they would ever keep track of that.
And here they took those red dots off the case, which is frustrating because the local refused to fight it. I was upset about that one too. I seem to be complaining about my local today.
As one of the executive members of your local, yeah. I'm kind of offended.
Well, I was an executive at the time, too.
I wasn't on the executive then.
Some members refused to argue this one. But they took the red dots off of the case. If they wanted me to edit my route, all I would do is sort in those flyers that day. And then as I was delivering, I would know, oh, I have an extra set, or, oh, I'm missing a set for these people. And it would be super easy. I wouldn't have to keep pulling out the sheet. I could just track changes like that. So that's one of the reasons those dots are supposed to be there. And again, it is not your job to manage those dots. It's the supervisor's job to manage those dots.
Yep. The most that you have to do is say, hey, this point of call doesn't want flyers. Can you add a dot?
Yeah. At some point, I'm going to put all those dots back on my case and way outside my grievance time for them taken away in the first place. But I'm going to put them back on myself. And if they take them off, I'll grieve it again. And I know the grievance officer now will not let that slide. And things have changed in the local. I'm sure it'll be fought now.
Well, I guess I could. All I really want to say is that there's also some stuff in the CMS about bulky items that can't be fit into the mail receptacle, and the options are leave them at the customer's door, hide them in a place that's safe from the rain, or bundle them up and bring them back and tell your supervisor why you can't deliver them because they can't be folded or scrunched or whatever. Also, if you're delivering to apartments, do not just dump them inside the door and let people help themselves. That is not an acceptable delivery method for us.
No. And there's a bunch of other exceptions. We're going to talk about MOAs, I think, in the next podcast or two. And that'll talk about a lot of the exceptions. We'll talk about things like those pizza boxes. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, we'll mention it in the next episode.
Yeah. If you have any other questions about neighborhood mail that we haven't answered and you can't find them in the CMS or you want our help looking for them, don't be afraid to send us an email at overburdenpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, there's quite a bit in here. I'm sure you guys know most of it or have dealt with most of it, but it's extensive. So there's a lot of things that people just may not be aware of in detail. So yeah, definitely don't hesitate to call and don't hesitate to listen in 2 weeks now, no longer next week.
Right.
Have a good
fortnight.
End of it. Is Fortnite 10 or 14?
I thought it was 14.
Okay.